Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's a bit like fucking an alien, but in our space, we can hear you scream.
Oh, I don't know how many times I have to say it, but I have had an education. My name is Bibi Lynch.
I'm Miranda Kane.
And today, I know you're very excited about this.
I'm super excited. As a geek and a sex fan, I have finally found someone who merges the two.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm from Deep Fantasies, and we make custom adult fantasy toys.
This week's guests have been making custom artisan adult toys for all your deep fantasies. Or should I say, more like fantasies from the deep? Never before have I seen the word Lovecraft taken so seriously. Please welcome Chris and Debbie from Deep Fantasies.
Yay. Hello, both. Hey.
Now, I think for the sake of Bibi and our listeners, I'm going to leave it up to you to describe the toys that you have been hand making over the past year.
So for the last year, we have been making, well, just about a year. We're about 12 days away from our 1 year anniversary. And we have been making fantasy themed custom adult toys.
So when you say the word fantasy, because a lot of people are thinking the Dream Boys, a bit of Ryan Gosling, that's not the kind of fantasy that we're
about. It was a weird niche to stumble into. When this started, that was never the goal. It quickly, very quickly developed into what we saw was a niche that we could really grow into. So when we're talking fantasy, we're talking mythical creatures, monsters, folklore, fairy tales, knights, dragons, sea creatures, things like that.
Why?
Maybe it's very difficult when it comes to penises of a normal nature.
Anyway, I mean, so why, Debbie and Chris?
Because it's different. You know, almost a year ago, we didn't know who Bad Dragon was. We didn't know about the fantasy toy scene. And we've always been ones to not just do what everybody else is doing. So when this started, really very quickly, it developed into, hey, we could do fantasy toys. There's got to be a niche for that.
Were you doing normal toys before it?
There's a bit of a backstory, but basically a year ago, so we've always had this shop that you guys can see in this background, but before we got into sex toys, this shop was used for creating things like movie props, special effects replicas, video game replicas, and cosplay costumes and props and things like that. So that's something that has been a hobby of mine for several years, and I've been making and doing things like that for quite some time. The sex toy shop came around when, you know, our friend COVID started back in March, and I found myself out of work. So Debbie worked from home, and up until recently when she just quit her job and now works for Deep Fantasies full time. That was the only income we had, and the shop that is here wasn't really bringing in a ton of money. So we were looking at what can we do for different streams of revenue. And one day I was just browsing through Etsy, and I'm not sure if you guys or any of your listeners are familiar with Etsy, but it's a online e-commerce platform that allows people to sell homemade or handmade items. And I saw a 3D printed dildo. And I thought, well, okay, that's interesting. There was only one store doing it. And I thought, well, I have 3D printers. I have the knowledge. I have the materials. So it's very low risk for us to get into. There's no startup cost. So we we did that. We launched a new Etsy store and threw a few, you know, very simple designs up. And I think within a week, we're like, hey, wait a minute, you know, we don't have to do 3D printing. And, you know, I have all of this silicone sitting in the background, not being used. And I know how to make molds. So let's make something silicone. So our, I think our very first sale was on like June 2nd last year. And it was a tiny little, you know, 10 centimeter tall butt plug. And it was, you know, made of silicone. I was like, wow, hey, cool. We made a sale. And very quickly we're like, well, let's, you know, make something else out of silicone. Let's, so I went scouring through the internet and I found this designer who actually is in France who makes fantasy themed sex toys designed for 3D printing. And our very first sale of a full-size dildo was a dragon tail. And it's actually still an item that we have today, and it's still a very popular item. And it kind of took off from there. Now we have over 50, I think we have something like 53 listings. And then of course, you know, if you think about all the different sizes, or if you want skinny or if you want fat, if you want 5 inches tall or 15 inches tall, we have a mold for that in the shop, and it's changing and growing every day.
Before we get into the range, Debbie, can you please describe your face when Chris said to you, we're going to go into dragon tail dildos, right? They're going to be luminous.
You know what's funny? Because Chris has been making and in the cosplay world for about, I guess, the past seven years-ish, and has done comic expos and things like that. I know that there's kinky people out there, and it, maybe I wasn't into those things myself, so it was eye-opening. But he had mentioned...
It was eye-opening for both of us.
he had mentioned making sex toys more than a year ago. He would casually be like, you know, this is a huge industry, which it is. Billions of dollars go into adult toys around the world. And that isn't a secret. So, you know, I remember being like 18, 19 years old. I'm 39 now, and going to those, to like sex toy parties and stuff with my friends, like way back then, and buying vibrators and whatever way back then. So that's not that absurd to me. But when he talked about last year, like, let's really give this a go. And I was like, my only hesitation was, this is in our home with our children. So that for me was like, okay, we have to like really keep this on the down low. In terms of the fantasy thing, knowing what I know now about like the cosplay world and the fantasy world, I was like, okay, that's a niche that's different and will stand out. It's not the typical stuff that you're going to find in your local sex toy store in your town or your city. The stuff that we make isn't found in those places. So we really needed to be within a niche and choose that and do it well. My background is in health and human services, but for the last couple of years, I've worked in online social media marketing. So from a marketing perspective, the fantasy sex toys sell, and we just have to do it well. And so that's what we've been doing, and exponential growth has happened. I think in January, when I really started getting into the online marketing for Deep Fantasies, we have gone up over 400% in our sales. And whoa. Yeah, so it's pretty incredible. Like, that's why I recently quit my job. Like, my last day was last week to work full time for Deep Fantasies. And we have hired a family member to work full time for us Monday to Friday as well. So we need the manpower just because the sales have gone up so much. We've just really found our niche. So, yeah.
And you can't really tell because you started it because of the pandemic. You can't really tell, I guess, if your sales have gone up because of the pandemic, because there's all those stats, aren't there, Mary, that people, 52% of couples are more sexually adventurous now because of the pandemic. You know, it's like the impact it's had. Can we talk about some of I can see Dragon Rider. I can see Dragon Rider. She's looking at me. Describe Dragon Rider, please. Describe Lushan.
Yes. So the names are a difficult or a different one. You know, Imagine you work for a paint company and you have to come up with all of these names for your color palette. And you have to be, you know, a creative writer all the time thinking like, okay, what's the backstory? Because a lot of people care about that. A lot of people want a backstory into their toy. We had a customer reach out to us once and he bought a toy, or they bought a toy that was, you know, they instantly clicked and thought, well, that looks like Shrek. And that was their kink. And they wanted a Shrek backstory to that toy. And we're like, whatever floats your boat. We're at, you know, no judgment here. We've had, can imagine the kind of requests we've had in a year with, you know, almost 500,000 visits to our shop, the kind of requests that we get.
People tell us everything.
They tell you
They don't hold back.
Very detailed. I don't know if it's the keyboard thing where people, you know, they don't know that you're a real person or something. And that's fine too. You know, it's funny actually, if you, if we send you an email or, on our shop for the longest time too, the shop owner name is Christine. Well, neither of us are named Christine, so it's a pseudonym. And so people are talking. So if our customers are listening right now, Christine is a pseudonym name for the two of us. We are Christine. So we didn't, we went with Chris's name, but made feminine because I'm involved as well. So, we went with Christine, and Christine answers lots of questions and helps customers. So it's a lot of fun doing that. But the naming thing of the toys again, you know, like the Lucian is a new one. We just released that one. It's a tentacle. So, you know, for people that are just listening, it's a really tapered tentacle. It has some good texture and some little suckers on it. We have the small size, and we just are launching the medium size this week.
And it's in a really like bright blue and bright pink.
Well, it can be any color. So that's one of our things too, is that people can choose their design and then they get to customize with their own color. So nothing we sell is already pre-made. Everything's custom order. So people put in their orders and they can do their add-ons, like adding extra color if they want more. Like two is our standard color add-on, so everybody can choose at least two colors. If you want more than two, you pay per color for add-on. So you can have, you know, as many colors as you want. And then you could add a cum tube if you wanted that. We can incorporate cum tubes into our toys.
I'm sorry. A cum tube.
Yep. That's exactly what it sounds like.
There's
no need to explain that. That's exactly what it is and what it does.
There's a Catholic amongst us, and I my brain didn't even take that in because I'm so horrified at the thought. Excuse my Francais. What is going on?
Well, some people want that effect.
Yeah, a lot of people like that sensation. Yet, you know, again, this was another learning curve for us, as with everything has been, that, you know, somebody came to us once, and that's how our store has grown so well. It's somebody has come to us and said, this is what we want. This is what we need. And we're like, okay, yeah, we can do that. Here you go. So, you know, I want a cum tube. Here's a cum tube. Let's figure out how we're going to engineer that and work out the problem. And here we go. Now we sell cum tubes. So basically, it's a silicone tube that travels up through the toy. It comes with a 50 milliliter syringe, and you can fill it with either lube, or there are numerous fake cums out there, you know, and you can either go for a real texture and taste, or you can go for an interesting flavor.
Why do that? Why go for the real texture and taste?
That's
chocolate milk. Like something nice.
Yeah.
Miranda would like it to be filled with Dubonnet. Private joke.
A bit of tonic.
This looks like the alien monster.
The Xenomorph. Yeah. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I've been doing my research.
Yeah. So that one, that's actually one of my favorites. We just designed that. And, you know, the second it was done, we're like, hey, this is a really cool looking toy. And, you know, quickly got to designing it, made the mold, poured the first toy, and I'm like, oh my God, that's a Xenomorph. When we design something, we don't go, hey, we need a... Very often, we just go into it blind. There's no, we need a Minotaur, we need a Xenomorph. It's let the creative process, you know, take place, let's see what appears, and then we create the name for it and the story after that, because you find something that's fitting.
I am loving the transferable skills from cosplay and prop making into sex toys. I think this is genuinely a unique experience for someone. You've got the engineering to come up with how to insert a cum tube and to make that work. And then fanfic. I never thought I'd see a sex toy that had its own fanfic. That's brilliant. Do you ever, like, if you're sitting watching a movie or a series or something, do you just suddenly go, oh my God, I've got an idea for a sex toy? Or
Yep.
Next question.
Sometimes, you know, it's a creative process. And when we started, we heavily relied on other designers' work. So we still team with a designer to create some very nice, very good detail, very good shapes. They're very easy to create, and they worked really well for us, but my design skills have really started to develop over the last year, where we don't need to rely on them so heavily. So now there's more creativity coming into us, rather than just taking a generic shape and saying, okay, this is what we're going to make this. Now it's what do we want this to actually look like? What do we want it to feel like? And then we can go from there, and then we can actually tweak it. You know, it's, you can make something, look at it and say, okay, yeah, well, it's good, but let's fix this part of it and this part of it. And, you know, let something take shape.
Which are your favorites, Debbie? Which are your favorites? And Chris, which are yours?
I like the tentacle ones. I think they're really fun, and they provide a lot of creativity in terms of color pores, like making the suckers different colors, or the fades always look really nice in terms of like having the top be one color and it fading down to something else. And we have a number of tentacles in our shop. Like the Kraken is, we have like four different sizes of the Kraken and two of the Lucian right now. We just launched another one. What's the name of the other one, Chris, that we just launched?
K.
You've got an octopus.
The K and the octopusy and the Ursula.
Yeah, okay.
Like we have like all these tentacles, and tentacles sell big time. People have their tentai fetishes. So those ones to me are fun.
I'm just, because I'm a sort of a design freak, I think the Woodland Dragon was my favorite, just because it's actually got a really interesting shape to it. It's got a lot of detail, which, you know, fine details don't transfer over to sensation 100% of the time. You know, it's more shape and stuff like that, but it looks really cool, and it's got some interesting features. So I'd say that one or the Xenomorph might be my new favorite. It's kind of a toss up right now.
The Xenomorph looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like that is the penis. You think, yeah, the alien's got that. Totally. Yeah, done, fine, sorted.
Miranda, would you have sex? Would you have sex with a Xenomorph?
Not the Xenomorph, like no, the acids that? In the eyes. That's a bit of a turn off.
I don't know what the Xenomorph is. The Xenomorph in Alien? I don't know what you're talking
about. That is the alien.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Here we go.
It is the alien, right?
Yeah.
Jesus. This is a house of no judgment, right? We are totally, my little mind's blown. what's the Bozette? The Bozette?
Oh, Bozette. Yeah, so... some of our creations are based on, you know, fan fiction. So Bowsette is a fan-made female version of Bowser from Mario, Super Mario Brothers. So I can't remember the UK if he's called. I can't remember in the UK if he's called Bowser or Koopa. But Bowsette is a fan-made female version of Bowser. She kind of looks like a cross between Princess Peach and Bowser.
Yeah. So, because these aren't, they're not all just phallic. Right. They're ones that guys can use as well.
Yes.
Right.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So we
lovely selection.
We want to be inclusive, like, you know, of all genders and identities and preferences. So we do have a couple strokers. The Ariel is the newer one. Like Bowsette was launched last year, but Ariel was launched this year. And so Ariel has two holes. You know, I'm sure we'll come out with other ones too that aren't female looking. My brother's actually gay. So he came over one day and he's looking at things and he's like, so gay men wouldn't want this. They want something more generic, just with like a hole or a slit or mouths or something. So, you know, going in that direction will be important to us to be more inclusive, or looking at the trans community and what their needs are. So making like mini strokers will be really important too in the future. We get people that will email us. Like I said, they tell us all sorts of things, and lots of people will email us and tell us about medical conditions that they have and how they've never been able to find a toy that works for them because they can't deeply penetrate, or they can't have high texture or whatever. So we try and accommodate those things as well by making other toys for them. And some of them you might not see in our shop because they've been custom made for those people. And then we just think, okay, we'll launch them eventually. And we just haven't yet. But some of them will just, you know, be really small versions of toys or that have no texture and things like that for certain people. So yeah, people tell us all sorts of things that they want or need for their sexual pleasure. So.
Has anyone asked for a Miranda and a Beaver?
They might have.
Not yet. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. I think the Lynchinator, I've always said that the Lynchinator is a good name for a sex toy. And now I think.
Okay. And what would yours be?
The Mithrandre.
Mine would just look like baby Jesus on a cross.
You know, we had somebody send us a picture of Jesus on a cross like 2 weeks ago and ask us to make it. Yeah.
Oh,
stop it.
Yes, they
don't,
did.
That's making me feel
my
not,
God.
No, that's
lynched. The lynch.
No,
it works
no,
so well.
No, we all need to go and take a cold shower. This is absolutely, we need to pray. This is terrible. Oh my God.
It's funny almost how sort of desensitized you come to it after a while. With some of the requests we've had, and you know, you get customers come to you and tell you all these stories, like a customer says, you know, they've been anal training with an apple on the end of a stick. And
don't do that, my darlings. Don't do that.
No.
And they say, you know, this is what I want. This is what I need. Can you provide that? So I don't think there's anything that could shock us anymore.
And that's called Granny Smith on your site. I can see it now.
These are beautiful. Like they, I don't ever want to yuck someone's yum. But they are still, they're beautifully made.
They look incredible.
There's nothing but, nothing but the best we'll do. You know, we have, I think, you know, with just over 3,000 sales in the last year, we have probably around, I'm guessing around 700 five-star reviews or 700 reviews. Nice. And I would say probably maybe of those 700 reviews, maybe 10 to 15 of those aren't five-star, somewhere around there. Nothing but perfection will do. If somebody's not happy with their purchase, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
That's another reason why this started is, you know, there's other makers out there where, you know, there's big makers that, you know, are into, you know, that basically have a hold of the market, not saying any names, but
Dragon.
Sorry, excuse you.
Sorry.
But
shit Dragon.
We hear customers say that, well, I just ordered. I really, really hope that it shows up good. I'm so nervous. I hope it doesn't have any flaws or any defects. And how horrible of a buying experience is that? To hope that you don't get a bad flop or a bad design or whatever might happen, and then have to deal with horrible customer service, like horrendous from what I've heard and what I see, because, you know, we're in all of these chat groups and Reddit subgroups and all of these different, you know, parts of the community. And it seems just like so stressful and expensive. You know, what you're paying, I mean, we've ordered from this huge company and we've, you know, gone through the experience ourselves. And, you know, what you pay in for the toy and then for the shipping and then the duty and brokerage fees that come in after when it finally arrives. And you're like, why did I pay this much money for something that's subpar? And, you know, we get reviews that come in and say, well, two toys arrived in 1 week. One came from this manufacturer and one came from Deep Fantasies. One was superior in quality and texture and sheen. The other one was from Bad Dragon.
These do
is that going
incredible.
On a t-shirt? This is such an interesting look behind the curtain because we speak to a lot of people who've made their own sex toys, but we don't actually get to see someone or talk to someone who is physically making them. Mm-hmm. In their workshop, and you're in your workshop. We can see all your products behind you, and it's so interesting, like, you know, to talk to the person who is like, no, I need to make sure that all the products are perfect. Mm-hmm. And everything. Yeah. And I just wanted to touch on something because you're in your home at the moment. So how do you keep it? Your kids are in their teenage years. How do you keep it a secret?
I mean, our son is 15, our daughter is 10. Our son is a typical teenage boy. He's very oblivious and he just wants to play his video games. Yeah. You know, we send him to the shops like, okay, go take out the recycling. but, you know, it's been a year now and the suspicion has sort of died down. They, you know, at the beginning, they're like, what are you doing in there? What are you doing there? And then, you know, when Debbie started coming in and helping all the time, you know, we were in here 24 hours a day, almost like almost every waking hour is like, we're in here working. And they're like, what are you doing in there? What are you doing in there? And now they've kind of just sort of given up on trying. And we've thought about telling them and we don't care if they know, but it's more about what are they going to go and tell their friends? And, you know, we can't control what they say to their friend and how their parents might feel about that. And we want, you know, our children's friends' parents to have control over, you know, what they see into that sort of genre of things. So, yeah. You know, it hasn't been super difficult to keep them in the dark.
Yeah. We have a lock on the inside of the door even. So when we go into the shop, we just lock the door and they knock and we just like wait to for opportune moment. And we'll open the door like every time and be like, you know, what do you need or whatever. And if there's nothing out, like right now you can see behind Chris that there's actual toys out on the counter. They're waiting to be trimmed and packaged this morning. If there's nothing like sitting out and there's just molds, like you can't tell from the mold what it is, then they can sit in there with us. It's not a big deal because they don't know what's going on.
It's a shame they're not younger because you could have just at Santa's workshop. And if you insist on asking questions...
No Christmas present.
No Christmas. That's it. If you want to cancel Christmas around the word for the children, my darlings, that's exactly what you say. I just want to say as well, they do look brilliant. They look works of art. And also, I guess if you are in that, if you are a fan of all this stuff, it would just be like a bloody dream come true. It would absolutely be all your Christmases coming at once. How much are they? So your prices range from...
I'd say probably our...
The lower end.
Go ahead.
So the smaller toys, we base things off of how much silicone they use, basically. Like that's kind of how we start setting prices. So you know, the smaller the toy, the smaller the price. So things like a butt plug would be much cheaper than something like our huge toy that's like a 15-inch tall bull penis. But like those ones, that one's like close to 500 Canadian, I think. But then we have like the Lucian is the small tentacle. That one's, I think, around $50 Canadian. We do have our Etsy shop still, but we also have a website. So on our website, our prices are cheaper. And it's just because of different fees that are involved in the sites, the overage fees. So yeah, people who shop on Etsy pay a little bit more, but some people prefer to shop on Etsy. So we just, you know, our shop is still open. And then slowly we'll transition completely to our website and then people will pay less as well. So
Deep Fancies is such a great name. It's a great logo. Yeah. So you started pretty much because of the pandemic. Do you think you'll continue doing this?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. This, you know, when it started, it was out of necessity. We needed money and we need to find a way to do that. And it quickly developed into what is now a passion. Once it started, I actually did go back to work. Once things started to open up again, I went back to a full-time job. I'm a painter decorator by trade. So I went back to doing that, but very quickly, again, we had another phase, another lockdown. And actually at that point, which this was in probably November, I said, you know what, that's it. This is now my opportunity to focus on this full time. It's not, you know, a hobby. It's not just a little means of extra bit of income. This is it. This is our chance to, you know, be home all the time with our kids and spend more time with them, work from home, have less stress. Why work for someone else when, you know, we can work for ourselves? And since November, it's been a full-time job and it really has become even more than a passion. It's, you know, it's what we live right now. It's every day, day in, day out. That's our life. It's dildos.
That's so, being a bit choked up. Like, just so beautiful, isn't it? Just to find your own deep fantasy and yeah. Just like yeah. Be able to work from home from something that was a necessity, and to be able to now have it as a passion and a way to earn money and live.
Yeah. And so fantastic. we have myself and Debbie and a full-time staff member. And we can still keep the lights on, pay our staff, pay ourselves, and you know, we're at home all the time now, which is great because, you know, our kids are schooling from home. So we can, you know, even though we're locked in the garage, at least we're home for them. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you say home, you're locked in there. Because I don't know this world at all, is Ursula named after your other staff member, or is Ursula something in the fantasy world that I should know about?
Oh, baby!
Ursula?
I don't know so who Ursula sorry. Is. I am so sorry, Chris and Debbie. I should have given her a cheat sheet. Ursula, how do you not know Ursula? Ursula, the sea witch, Ursula. Just absolutely
in the Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
I don't know.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
My feeling is you're all drunk. Now Chris has left the room. Chris is upset. Yeah. Chris has just left. He's kind of gone.
Would you ever go to conventions?
Yeah.
We are really excited and hoping that that COVID will allow, or you know, COVID restrictions will up. That we can do one because like Debbie said before, I did some Comic Cons a couple times. And again, just like with the toys, when I did that, it was completely, you know, what's everybody else doing? And then let's not do that. So our last booth we had at a comic convention was a full cosplaying booth where we sold it was done up like a video game stall from a certain series of video game, and everybody sold was from that video game. Everyone that worked there was dressed up like they were from that game, so people turn the corner and they're like, oh wow, this is incredible. It's not just some generic
yeah booth, like table
that someone's
set up.
Peddling their wares.
Yeah
so there's a con that's supposed to happen in November. It's called the Taboo Naughty or Nice Show, and we're really hoping that we can get in there and you know, show people what we do, and it'll be so much fun. And you know, I think of all of these crazy ideas running through my head about how we can, you know, doll it up. Because I've talked to people that have gone these, and I don't know why we never have, because it's not like we're vanilla people when it comes to, yeah.
Well, you got two kids, so you definitely had sex. I can tell you that much.
Miranda, don't say that. That's so personal.
So yeah, we're really excited, and we really hope that you know it's something we can do.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And where can people find more information
about our shop? We have our website, deepfantasies.com, so we can you can buy all of our toys there. You can email us through there. We also have a brand ambassador program. So that was something that was launched recently, where there's an application people can fill out if they're on a minimum of 2 social platforms. They have a diverse following, and diverse meaning being inclusive of all genders, identities, and kinks, basically. And people can apply to be a brand ambassador. And with that, they get 20% off. If they're accepted, they get 20% off in our shop. We expect them to post on their social media and share reviews and things like that. And then when people are referred to our shop to purchase, they can select which brand ambassador might have referred them. And then we track the points for those brand ambassadors, and they can earn extra things. So we'll send them toys before they're launched to the public or things like that. So we right now have, I think, 7 brand ambassadors because it was just started, but we get so many applications. So we'll just ongoing accept those people and kind of get the word out there, you know, or more organically through our customers. So that's where you can find us.
Brilliant.
And then of course, social media too.
Yeah, we're on Instagram and we're on TikTok, and TikTok has been a big thing for us in the last 4 months.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And what are you on Instagram?
Deep Fantasies YEG, and YEG means Edmonton. That's where we're located. So Deep Fantasies YEG, all one word, on Instagram and on TikTok.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Honestly, they are such works of art. And
yeah.
Congratulations as well on making it a year. This is fantastic.
Yeah, congratulations. And love to Ursula.
Yeah.
So Ursula.
Oh my God. She's the sea witch, and she's got legs like an octopus, which is why it's got little tentacles, little suckers on. It's a tentacle with a sucker. Much
is she
like
real? Is she real?
Yeah, absolutely. She totally exists. A woman with half a body and the rest of the half is an octopus is definitely a real thing.
Mm-hmm. In Hove?
Yes. Yes, she serves a very niche but very grateful market.
I'll look out for her on Facebook.
That was so, wasn't that fascinating? I've never thought.
I loved them.
Find sex toys with their own fan fiction. I love it.
Laura has no judgment, but that did blow my mind a bit.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I think just the skill with which they're coming at it is just amazing, and the passion. And I think it's something that a lot of people would just have as a piece of art. Like, great. And I really hope they do get around to all the comic cons, because I'd just love to see people's faces as they walk past and see a xenomorph cock on the table.
My name is Bibi. I'm just thinking, really Dumbo. My name is Bibi Lynch.
My name's Rhoda Kane. And if anyone out there does want to make the Bibi Lynchinator or the Mithrandir fantasies text toys, just have a word with us. Have a word.
I insist one has freckles off. I just want freckles all over it. Good sex, bad sex. Did we just say our names? Oh my God, I'm so tired. Okay, sorry, doll. We've said our names.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's terrible. Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Judith Nichols for metro.co.uk.
And if you do want to make the Lynchinator or the Mithrandir, you can get in touch with us at Twitter at Good Sex Bad Sex with a triple X at the end. Bibi, can they find us on Instagram by any chance?
Yes. At Good Sex Bad Sex. Normal spelling. I'm gonna have a little lie down now. I'm gonna try and find that Ursula, because maybe she's got like a cockles stall.
Right, we're gonna see you next week. Okay, I'm gonna go and make her watch The Little Mermaid, and we'll see you next week.
Ta-ta.